Madison, how are we doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good stuff, good stuff. Just for those at home that perhaps don't know you, just want to give us a little introduction about your journey and how did you even get into trading in the first place?
So I got into trading through a friend. So I was doing network marketing at the time, joined that when I was 17. Just kind of knew that I wanted to be rich and network marketing came to me. And I was like, right, great, I'll run with that. Met a guy who was getting into trading with Astro.
Vibes.
Always have to laugh when I say Astro. And he was like, right, I'm working with these guys and they're holding an event on Broad Street in Birmingham. I was like, lit. I knew about the Blue Maserati. Pulled up at this event, saw the Blue Maserati outside, and I was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. So anyway, the event, basically selling the course. It was like $2,000 for the course. My friend did it. And then he was like, I'll sell you the course book. Bought the course book off of him for like £100 and pretty much taught myself from that initially, and then did a couple of other courses. But everything has always come back to the original Astro strategy. As much as there's a lot about them, that strategy is still what I stick to this day, and that's kind of how the journey all started.
Love that, love that. It's always interesting hearing how people get into it, because it's usually the same thing, right? Money, we want to get money. Perhaps we're not in the best situation financially, we want an escape. But I also feel like there's something about traders, you've got to be a certain type of person to trade in the first place, right? Because it's not an easy game. And I know it's kind of portrayed that way.
It's not really easy.
It's kind of portrayed that way online, right? That it's easy. How did you find it? Because obviously I'm assuming, again, touching on Astro, the things that you would have seen, the images that were shown, did you at the time think it was just going to be some easy thing that you would just pick up and be like, I've made it?
100%. 100%. It was like, as soon as I bought that course book, I was like, yeah.
Printing money, let's go.
Literally. And then I've quickly realised that if you don't initially have a nice capital to start with, then it's going to take you a long time to actually see anything life-changing. So, yeah, it was a quick realisation that £100 account on, I think it was Oanda that I opened my first account with.
Nice.
That first £100 account was not going to get me anywhere. Yeah. 0.01 lots.
Yeah, standard.
I think there was no leverage.
Yeah, we've all been there. But I think that shapes the start of the journey, right? So if we go back to that point, at the time in your life, like where were you? What were you doing? Was you someone that decided to just like dive into trading, or was you working? Was you studying for anything?
Yeah, so when I first started trading, I think I was in my final year of college. So long story short, I ended up having to do an extra year of A-level psychology because I failed. So all of my friends went to university. I had to stay back and do an extra year. And I was like, oh God, like this is long. So at that point I was like, okay, like I need to do something. So I think that was kind of the point when I first started to get into trading. And then I really started getting into it when I started uni. I started my degree, but even then I still didn't really get into it. Yeah. It was just like, it was there. I was like reading bits here and there, like studying baby pips. But I still wasn't really getting into the nitty gritty of actual trading.
Yeah, I hear that. So you mentioned there obviously failing psychology in uni, right, college. So you, I guess, have some familiarity with failure, right? It's something that you're...
The first failure. The first failure.
How did you deal with that? Because again, like the human mind doesn't get on with failing very well, right? And I guess in trading, it's going to happen. And obviously for the viewers at home, you know, we're going to get onto that, but you're going to experience failure in trading. How did you deal with that early on? When it wasn't in trading, did it help you at all in your trading journey?
I think it did. Like thinking back to it now, I wasn't really fazed by it. Like even when I had to like retake that year, and obviously the class that I'm in, everyone was a year younger than me. Mm-hmm. It didn't really faze me. I didn't really think about it. It was what I had to do. So yeah. I did it.
Okay, interesting. So would you say that like your mindset from early on was strong? Did you know that to get somewhere you're gonna have to go through the shit, right? Because like that saying, if you're digging for gold, you're gonna dig for a load of dirt before you get the gold. Did you kind of, were you already aware of that? Because I feel like a lot of people come into this game and they see, again, gurus woo-woo online and they believe that there is no dirt, it's only gold. Did you ever have that, or was you aware that this is going to be harder than it looks?
I think I don't remember really having to think about it. It was just something that I was just like, right, okay, I want to go to uni, I want a law degree was what I was working towards. And if that's what I've got to do, then
that's what you've got to do.
That's the only thing I can do. Like, I can't sit back and complain about it. So I guess I did always just kind of have that mindset of just
That's sick. Something that you can't teach. It's just part of you, right?
100%. Yeah. And I think when it comes to trading, you either have it or you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things, like, a lot of people, you know, you must get a lot of messages yourself. People will be like, oh, I've had this problem, I had that problem. And it's like, you know, through the experience, you do have to learn on the job in trading, right? The natural born trader is a myth. And I think, like, people need to realize that no one woke up, you know, came out their mum and was like, well, go on, I'm going to be a trader. You know, it didn't work like that. You have to go through your experiences, you have to go through your failures. So going back to that journey, obviously Astro stuff, trading that way, and you've managed to stick to that system now, right?
Yeah.
So how long ago was that? You've been trading, what, nearly 8 years?
8 years ago, yeah.
Wow. Okay, interesting. How has the 8 years been?
Absolute roller coaster, yeah. So like I said, I started with Astro. I spoke to Ammon here and there. And then that's kind of when, I think it was like a couple of years after that, the Cryptonary course came out.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, this Tory guy seems really cool. So I got into this Cryptonary, and then that whole situation happened. And I was like, Team Tory. So I was in a lot of, like, I was in his community and everything like that. And then I came across Bernie. So this was like, we're talking now, I mean, like 2018, 2019. Bernie started his community, joined that. And that's where I really like refined the strategy. So it was pretty much everything that I'd learned from Astro, like the support and resistance, Fibonacci. That was kind of the bread and butter that I was looking at. And then going into Bernie's community, that kind of just helped me refine the strategy.
Okay.
So yeah, big up to Tory and Bernie.
Love that. Giving people flowers, it's what's important. And not enough people do that in this game. Again, I feel like everyone's just focused on themselves, right? And like you say, if someone's helped you on the journey, cool, big them up. It's important.
Absolutely.
There's not enough real people in the game. So people that have been real, big ups to you. Back then, we didn't have prop firms, right? It was put your own capital in, deal with it. Any of the OG traders will remember that, you know. It was hard. Like, I remember looking at ways to make extra dough, putting credit cards into brokers and just trying to flip accounts. Did you have the same vibe? Was it the same thing?
Yeah. But I started live trading with crypto, and again, £100 Hugo's Way account.
Nah.
Like, it was tough. Like, still to this day, I always say, I can't wait to get to a day where I'm comfortable to go back onto that Hugo's Way account and actually see how much money I lost day trading crypto.
You got any idea how much you put in terms of blowing up accounts, trying to flip accounts?
I guess I'm going to say probably around it up to 10 grand. A uni student working part-time.
Yeah. It's a big thing, right? It's a big thing.
Yeah.
How did you cope with that though? Because, like, obviously you're facing that battle and you're a uni student. Mm-hmm. Obviously you're focusing on, you know, law degree and stuff.
Yeah.
How do you deal with losing that kind of money? Like, it's not something you can just go, oh, sorry, I'll move on. Mm. Like you said, you're working part time. Mm. How did you feel?
Again, at the time, I was just like,
"Is what it
let's
is.
Go again."
Love that. So you just keep going, yeah.
Going. It was probably the wrong thing to do. I probably should have took a step back and said, okay, right, something's not working here.
Yeah.
But I was just like, no, go.
Looking back now, what do you think was not working? What do you think was the problem at the time? Was it undercapitalization? Was it too much of a rush to get out of a poor situation financially?
Yeah,
or
it was just, I wanted to be rich and I wanted to flip that £100 account as quick as I possibly could.
There was no patience. It was just let's go. Any key lessons from it that you would give to anyone at home that perhaps is in a similar position? Obviously the difference now is, and I think this is correlating into prop firms, people have come from, let's flip 100 quid or my nan's 50 quid she gave me for my birthday, let's try and make it a million, right? Yeah. But they're doing that with like prop firms now instead. But obviously the prop firm allows you the large capital for a very little risk, if you like. Is there anything you'd tell people at home that it's like, with especially with prop firms, not to do that now? Is there any advice you'd give?
Just take your time. Like, be patient, get mentoring, and make sure you have like a stable group of people around you to support you, because there's going to be one day everything turns to shit and you're just like, what the hell do I do?
When did you start to see a breakthrough? What was the pivotal point where you actually started to see success? Because I think this happens a lot for people. It happened to myself. You're just plugging away. You keep going. You've got the resilience, right? Mental strength. But eventually it gets tough. But then all of a sudden, those small kind of failures and keep going, they build up and they become something. Mm-hmm. Was there a point you can relate back to where you were like, that was the pivotal point?
I think it was a collection of everything leading up to that point. But I think more than anything, it was finding out I was pregnant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I just started my master's degree. Found out I was pregnant a few weeks later and I was like, shit, what am I going to do? And I was just like, I can't have this baby and then go to work for someone else. Like, I've got this here. Like, I know that this is something that can work. I haven't been taking it seriously. So, okay, right now it's time to take this seriously. And then I found out about FTMO, did my first 10K challenge, passed it, got my first payout. And that was when I was like, shit.
You passed your first challenge as well. Oh, big ups, because I don't know many people that do that.
First 10K challenge. It was a roller coaster after that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think I was stuck in that mindset. I was like, shit, I passed it. And it was like, it was in a very short space of time as well. So I made the first 10%. And then I initially thought actually that there was three stages for FTMO.
Okay.
So I thought that you had to make 10% and then make the 5% and then make another 5%. So I remember I made that £500 and I was like, oh my God, like I'm one step closer. And then I got that email about signing the contract and I was like, wait, what? I was like, I remember speaking to my mum and I was like, mum, read this. Like, I'm off funded. Like,
I've done it. Yeah, I've got it.
And I literally remember thinking like, shit, I've actually made it.
Nah, sick.
But you get to the quick realization that, nah.
Yeah, yeah, unfortunately. Did you find like ego takes control at all when you do that?
100%.
Because it comes in right. And a lot of people, and I've done this myself, like the ego for me is the enemy. Like, obviously everyone needs a little bit of arrogance and whatnot, but it takes control in a poor way, right? Did you find that it just came in and just was like, I've completed it, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've done it.
As soon as I passed that 10K challenge, got the payout, went straight in for that 140K. Ooh, that was humbling.
Yeah, to jump into the big numbers.
That was humbling, yeah.
So just backtracking a little bit, obviously you find that you're going to be a mum. And obviously, as I know as well, being a parent, that adds massive pressure to, you know, be successful. You've now got responsibility. Yeah. How did you find that? Obviously, you used it by the sounds of it as motivation, right? And you used it as fuel, which is sick. And you want to live that life where you're there for your kid. You're able to be a part of their life, right? But was there anything during that period, because obviously you're pregnant, doing uni, that really kind of changed the way you looked at trading? Because I find you obviously had that, I want to get rich, I need to make money. And again, especially with having a kid, you need more money, right? Kids ain't cheap. So was there anything that really like changed the shift? Because what I'm trying to really like zoom in on here is a lot of traders, they all go through this like mindset shift where something just clicks and changes.
Yeah.
And then you almost realize you've got to start treating this more of like a business rather than just I'm going to be rich. Did that happen before baby, after baby? Was there any moment you can relate where you go, oh, actually that maybe made me be a bit more, I guess, like mature about trading?
I would love to say I can remember having that moment. And sometimes I even think, have I even had that moment where I'm like, okay, right, this is an actual business now. Like, you start taking this shit seriously. I think in the back of my mind somewhere, I still do treat it very much like a game. And I think that is what helps me get through,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. I think when I start to think of it more in a professional sense of this is an actual business now, that's when I start to derail and I'm like, shit. Like, I'm losing money. Shit, I need to get this back. When I think of it more as a game, psychologically, that just kind of makes more sense for me. But I think finding out I was pregnant, that was just more of, okay, right, you need to run with this now, more than, okay, right, it's time to be professional and run a business. Because at the end of the day, I have no boss. So I don't think I could ever look at it as a business.
Okay, interesting.
Controversial, but
no, I can see what you're saying, and that's what's beautiful about this is to get other people's views. Everyone's different, right? And everyone has their own way of looking at things. But I think you know you touched on that is one, not having your own boss. Yeah, it's sick, right? But at the same time, you're your own boss. You've got to get up every day.
Yeah.
You've got to do your thing. You've got to be accountable. Balancing work-life balance, being a mum, mm-hmm. obviously all that stuff. How do you find that? Because I know there's a lot of listeners at home that are parents, right? And I get the question a lot. How do you do this? How do you do that? School runs, all this different stuff gets in the way, sleeping at night, whatnot. How have you found the adaption from, you know, now being a mum?
There isn't a balance. Like, trying to find the balance, it doesn't exist. It really doesn't. You can get yourself into a routine, which I know you're really big on as well, like the whole routine. And when, like I always say, when I can get myself into that disciplined mindset, being in a routine, et cetera, it's really easy. But then as soon as I kind of derail from that and just live life how I want to live it, that's when things kind of get a little bit tougher. So I wouldn't say that there ever is a balance. There just comes a time where you just kind of, you have to just try and stick to some kind of routine. But at the same time, I'll be getting the kids ready for nursery sometimes. I'm like checking the charts. Like there's just no, I can't separate it.
You've tried by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
You have tried.
And I think that is something that I continuously work. Like it's a continuous journey of like finding that right discipline of what works for me in my life and managing the kids, managing trading. It is an ongoing battle. And I don't know if I ever will find that perfect balance.
Yeah, I think perfection doesn't exist to a degree in any aspect of life, right? You can go for it. It's like trading, trying to find a perfect edge. It doesn't exist, right? It's just not a thing and you're wasting your time. I can see the same point. For me, I am very structured routine-wise. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there will be elements like, let's say they've got 6 weeks coming up, right? Mm-hmm. I know that's chaos. Yeah, like, I'm not going to lie. That is chaos. Yeah. That's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you still have to provide. You still have to do your job. So how do you get yourself into a correct mental state for trading?
The biggest advice I can give to anyone, like if anyone is listening who's a trader and a parent, it's having a couple of hours in the morning before the kids wake up. That alone is a game changer. Like just having those few hours when you first wake up to, I don't know, like read a book, get some chores done, just have a little bit of quiet time for yourself, being able to look at the charts. Those couple of hours before the kids wake up are absolutely pivotal. If I don't have those few hours, I just know the whole day is just not going to run how I want it to run.
So if you don't have those few hours, because again, this is just that like mindset you bring to trading, right? Will you be aware enough to go, probably shouldn't trade today?
If I'm taking my own advice, I'd be like, don't trade today. But I know me as a person, I'm super impulsive. So if I look at the charts and I see a setup, I'm like, yep, go.
So is that something that you want to dig into preventing?
100%. It works for me sometimes until it doesn't.
If we're looking at your vision for trading, right, and then say the next couple of years, mm-hmm. I'm assuming just grow capital, get to the next level, right? We've got big opportunities in front of all us traders.
Absolutely.
That's something you're going to have to dig into.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it's going to obviously affect you when the capital gets bigger and et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes you make a poor decision and it can be the end. Is that something that you're actively trying to work on? And if so, do you know what you need to work on to perhaps change it?
100%. It's discipline. That is the ultimate thing. It's discipline in every aspect of your life. And if you can be disciplined in every aspect of your life, then that rolls over into your trading. And like, I'm so real about it. Like the whole point of me growing my social media is to show the realities of a trader, and an imperfect trader. Like I'm not out here claiming to be the most perfect trader that, like, has got a perfect win rate. It's just the realness of the journey of being a trader.
You know, I love that. And I wanted to dig into that a little bit because obviously I know, especially for you, you're very transparent online, which I love. It's something I've always advocated to do myself. It's why I started the channel, because I just got misled by the woo-woo. I saw someone making 100 bags online or in a swimming pool in Bali with a fruit bowl. And I was like, yo, I want that. And then I realized it's not the thing, right? You could put that as a title or thumbnail on YouTube, probably get better views, but not much value in it. And the ones that do are absolute sausages, right? They just share those rubbish. But I see sometimes you get a bit of grief. And I wanted to dig into it a little bit because it's something that, again, isn't spoken enough about. You're putting yourself out there. People are claiming they want transparency. You're being transparent and then you're getting flack for it. How does that make you feel as an individual that's trying to be honest and share the realities?
It annoys me more than it should. And over the last couple of days, it really got to me. And I just had to take a step back and I was like, out of the hundreds of comments that I've got from people saying, like, thank you so much for sharing this, like, this makes me feel better to know that I'm not alone and trading is a continuous journey. The one or two comments where people are like, well, why are you doing that? You're doing that wrong. Your risk management shit. I'm like, okay, but like I'm going back at them, and it's taking so much energy and it's literally making me feel like shit because I'm trying to argue my point. So I was just like, you know what, I block.
No matter what you do when you put yourself online, you're going to get drama. It's just how you deal with it. And I think it's something you do need to be able to deal with very quickly and move on.
100%.
Because like you say, it can ruin your day. And at the end of the day, this person's probably an absolute waste man behind a screen. And they just get, like, in real life, they're not going to say that. I think that's something you need to deal with. But is there anything you would like to say to those people?
Go fuck yourself.
Clip that. Clip that. But I respect it because you're coming out, you're putting things online that you don't have to, you know, and I want to make that clear to everyone. Like, you don't have to share anything online. And anyone that's coming out online and being honest and transparent, those people should be protected because how can you expect people to share their downs and their moments of struggle, and then you go smoke them because it makes you feel better? It's dead. So on that point, though, there is a good side to social media, right? And like you say, you get a lot of good feedback. And again, it's funny, isn't it, how you get like hundreds of comments and there'll be one and you'll just be like, dick, you really pissed me off. And it shouldn't be that way, but the mind's always looking for that negative. What's the plan with social media?
Honestly, there wasn't one.
Oh.
I literally, so obviously I was on Instagram for years, and it just got to a point where it was just so much clout, and psychologically I couldn't deal with seeing the Lambos every day, the mansions. I was like, this is what I want, but I don't know how I'm getting there. And it just all got too much. So I deleted my Instagram, and I went to Twitter. Again, the only reason I had Twitter was when I was following Tory and the whole crypto was a thing. And when I logged back into my Twitter, my bio literally was here for crypto wizard tweets. That was the only reason I had a Twitter. But I was like, I need some kind of outlet to like share trading. So I went back on Twitter. I had like 80 followers at the time. I'd made a few friends in like the crypto community through all of that. So I just started interacting with them. And a year later, like, it's completely blown up. But it was never a plan. Like,
it just happened.
It literally just happened overnight. And now I'm at a point where I'm like, opportunities are coming from me. So I'm like, okay, right now, I kind of have to take this a little bit serious. There's no plan for what I actually want to do with social media.
YouTube?
Happened. I mean, maybe.
Got to get it on. Get on YouTube. No, I love that. I think I didn't really set out with a plan. It kind of just one of them things. You want to share your journey. I think also the key thing here, it's something I wish I did years ago, was like more documentation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the struggles when you're just like, you don't even know what you're doing. You're trying to figure stuff out. I'm like, I wish I had a camera on then and could look back at it.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of it as well is also documentation and sharing how I'm developing. And I even look back at old videos and I'm like, rah, man, you was clapped, like, what are you doing? Like, do you know what I mean? It's just nice to look back and see the progress. And I think, do you find that you've done much reflection? Because I feel like a lot of traders don't do this, and it's something I'm a massive advocate of, like, just see how far you've come. Because we always base it on like money in the bank perhaps, but you don't look at like old Mads from like 8 years ago to now. Do you ever look back and go, right, you know what, I've actually smashed it?
You know what, I personally don't.
Okay.
But I've got a couple of friends that do. So every now and then, like, two of my closest friends, they are my biggest supporters. Even my friend yesterday, Regina, she messaged me and she was like, she sent me a video about something and she was like, you do realise like what you're doing, like, you're smashing it. And again, my friend Kyle, it's funny, they both messaged me yesterday and she wrote me a whole paragraph and she was like, remember the times when you said that this is everything you wanted, like, you are literally making everything happen now. And I'm like, shit. I am.
Yeah.
So for me personally, I don't. And then it's when my friends message me and kind of give me that reminder. I'm like, shit, I've come such a long way.
Yeah, I think it's important to do, because sometimes you can get so focused on chasing the end goal, but the goal moves all the time. 100%.
And the goal changes.
This is the thing. Your life changes. Yeah.
I didn't expect to be doing this.
A lot of the things that I've found that have come my way or that I'm doing, like even YouTube, right? I look back and I'm like, I never would have thought I'd have made YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of them. It's one of them weird things. Yeah. I appreciate that. But like, it's just, yeah, it's one of them things I guess we need to do more of, because I always try and use this kind of example of like, if a friend came to you and was feeling a bit low, you'd be empathetic towards them and you'd give them the advice they'd want to hear, but you'd give them the correct advice, right? However, with ourselves, we're very bad at doing that. We're just really harsh on ourselves. We're like, not there yet. Not good enough. We need to do this. So you do need to flip it and be empathetic towards yourself at the same time. Because otherwise, right, because let's face it, the game we're in is pretty much numbers. And numbers are infinite. So like, when does it stop? Or is there a point you've got in your head where you're like, when I get here, X, Y, and Z? Or are you just going?
I just literally just going. Like, I don't ever see myself stopping. Like, there isn't really an end goal. It's just keep going.
Do you enjoy trading?
I love it.
I think you have to, right? Because staring at candles is boring, man.
You can't trade if you don't love it. And everything else that comes with it as well. Like, I wouldn't be here for 8 years if I didn't.
What drives you?
I think the biggest thing that drives me is just giving my kids the absolute freedom to do whatever they want, ever want to do in life.
Yeah, I hear that and relate to that a lot. I think the one thing that's always been for me, it's always been in the front of my journals, is to have the ability to do what I want, when I want, where I want, when I want.
Yeah.
That's just like a constant thing that I reaffirm, because I feel like you can't, no matter how much like, you know, money you've got and that, it's the freedom that allows you to do location freedom, even doing things like this, right? I used to work Saturdays, so I'd be like, oh, can I have the day off? Or, you know, you haven't got to do that. And I think that's where you've got to sometimes look back and go, well, actually, I am living and in an industry that's fucking sick.
Yeah.
Like, true. It's not easy, but there are a lot of pros to
it's
it.
So worth it.
Yeah. So you would say after all that, you wouldn't go back and not do it.
No, not at all.
Love that. I respect that.
No.
It's nice to hear because I've not come across anyone yet that's gone, oh, actually, you know what, it's not worth it. Everyone that's got there has said, look, it's the fucking shit.
Yeah.
It's just perhaps a little different to what you thought it was.
It's completely different to what I thought it was.
Yeah. How'd you deal with that though? Because I spent a while where I was like, I thought trading was X, Y, and Z, and it's not. You feel like you've been lied to, you feel like you've been mugged off.
Yeah.
How do you go again? Because it's all well and good going again, but what like pushes you to go again with conviction, drive? Because there'll be another hurdle, right? And then there's another hurdle. Is there anything that you've would you say that having the kid really pushed that on?
Yeah, 100%. I think because I was learning how to trade for so many years, like studying baby pips and the Astro course and then finding Bernie, there was just something in me that, like, I'd been doing this for so many years already, and I was like, well, this damn for sure ain't going to be for nothing. So I've just got to keep going now.
You only quit when you stop trying, right?
Exactly.
So one thing to get on now, obviously, we're in a great industry. We've got prop firms, right? And they are changing the game for the better. Obviously, you've recently come on with Bespoke, partnership with Bespoke. Yeah. How have you found Bespoke in general as a firm, and obviously what's your view on the no time limit? Did you ever find that time limits impacted your decision making with prop firms?
100%. I mean, it was only like, what, it wasn't even that long ago until I first heard about no time limit prop firms, because I'd been trading FTMO for so many years. It was like, you've got 30 days to make 10%, and that's what it is. Like, there's no way else around it. So when I started hearing about no time limit, I was like, shit, like, I've literally got as long as I need to actually pass this challenge. I was literally just like, what the hell? Like, even now, I feel like sometimes I'm like, is this like all those years trading with that 30-day time limit, and now I have no time limit? Like, it still doesn't really register.
It's the closest thing to an actual personal account, in my view. I know you have a target, but it's unreal. I myself, I was the same FTMO through and through, right? And like, FTMO is great, but like you say, and this is what I want to touch on, because there'll be a lot of people at home that I know struggle with this. 8 to 10% in 30 days is unrealistic, right? Like, it can be done, and I don't want to cause any drama. It can be done. I'm not saying it can't. I've done it. Many people do it. But what I want to get here is thinking it's normal to do that every month. You are a waste man, because it's not doable. Like, it's just not right. And then people have this false sense of security of like, oh, I didn't make 8 to 10%. I'm a shit trader. I know, I'm going to find a new strategy, and it won't fucking work, because it's not the strategy, it's you.
Yeah.
So like, going to no time limit, what I love about it is you can just trade.
Yeah, literally.
It doesn't matter.
There's no pressure.
It's lit. Like, it is lit. If you're looking to go for a challenge, go no time limit, because even if you can make 8 to 10% in a month, like, why add the pressure?
At this point, why would you not go for
it? I don't know.
Like, no time limit prop firm. Yeah. It makes sense. Why would you say, yeah, okay, I'd rather do this prop firm with a 30-day time limit. Everything else is pretty much the same. With no time limit prop firms, you 9 times out of 10, you've got a less profit target. It's usually around 8% rather than FTMO being 10%. It's literally a no-brainer.
I think people worry, right? People worry in terms of lots of new things coming to the industry. And unfortunately, we're in an industry where there is a load of shit, right? So people do think, oh, they've just come to do X, Y, and Z. But I try and get this across. Like, there's no benefit going through all the hassle of creating what they've created to then just go, yeah, peace. I think people need to realize that there's an opportunity now as a trader that we've never had. Don't sleep on it, right?
It's literally the easiest time to come into this industry. Like, I think back, like, 8 years it took me to get here. It's 6 months to a year for a lot of people now. If you have the right mentorship and the right mindset, then...
I think that's something really important to remind people. We're in a day and age now where we've got so much information, yeah. Got so much knowledge. To a degree, too much knowledge, right?
Way too much.
Like, there's so much now that you can see. And I think I went down this route where it's like, every trade, people are always like, you've got to understand the why. Why did you lose? And it's like, the reality is, it's just probabilities. Like, if you go too deep, I get you can figure out the why, right? But then the problem is you'll add that into the new system. Oh, that was why, right, I'm going to do that. And then the next trade that you would have hit in that system, you won't hit because of this new filter, and it will work. And you're like, oh, shit. Yeah. It's literally a maths equation. Like, I did a video 2 years ago, and I literally got a coin, and I flipped it 10 times. And I just said, every time it landed on heads, it'll be like 1 to 5 at the time. That's what I did, right? And then on tails, it was a loss. But you could do this with 1 to 2. Flip it and just see the outcome. Change hands. The trajectory will be different. And all these mathematicians will get in there and go, oh, the velocity of the moon. I don't care. What I'm saying is, realistically, it's showing you probabilities working, right? You'll see that you'll be profitable with just like 1 to 2. But people go down this route of, I never want to lose. And I'm yet to come across someone that's never lost. You seen anyone?
Jesus. I mean, when it comes to trading, if you have a 50% strike rate, as long as your risk to reward ratio is there, that's literally all you need. Like, facts. There is no holy grail of 100% win rate. Even like a 90%, 80% win rate, I don't think it exists.
No, I agree. That you can have months where you might win all your trades, brilliant, but then the next month you might get smoked. And I think you can't get complacent with the market because it will smoke you on sight. Like, it don't take prisoners, right? It's ready to smoke you.
100%, one day, done.
How have you found prop firms? How do you approach prop firms? Because I know everyone has their own spin, and there's no right or wrong, but in your kind of advice to people at home, how would you, if they were getting a challenge, how would you advise them to approach it?
Okay, I'm gonna say this off the back of the last challenge that I did. The last challenge that I did, I passed both phases with one trade. And that was simply by just harnessing, I don't even know where it came from, harnessing some kind of level of patience that I've never had before. I saw the perfect setup. I knew the market direction, entered, and I said, hold. And that was it. And held it, hit profit target, got closed out for me without me having to touch it. We got that auto close. And hold that trade. If you can work out directional bias of the market on the daily or the weekly, get that perfect entry, even if you have to risk a little bit more. I remember that trade, I risked about 1.5%. That was my first trade. Came very close to that stop loss as well. Again, big up the spreads. that ended up hitting profit target, and that was literally just patience because I knew where the market was going. I wasn't worried. I trusted my analysis. That one trade took me to TP, and I think any challenge that I do from here forward, just wait for that perfect setup and just ride it.
When you say you knew where the market was going, people at home will be like, oh, she's got sauce. Obviously, that's you basing it on your analysis, your understanding, right? That's you trusting your analysis, and you're happy to take that risk on, like you say, a higher risk, 1.5%.
Yeah.
Are you more of a swing trader style? So you're happy to hold like a couple of days, or are you more in and out intraday kind
of
vibes?
Literally the first swing trade that I think I've ever done. And I will keep saying this, where that patience came from, I don't know. I don't know if it was just because the first one I did with Bespoke, I failed. And I was like, shit, like these guys can see what I'm doing. And I was like, right, I need to go hard with this one. I need to show them that I can actually trade. I was just like, okay, right, I'm going to swing this. And I've never done this before. I think the longest I'd probably held a trade was like a day. Like I am, if you follow me on social media, you know, scalp and intraday, that's where I'm at. But psychologically, something just told me, no, just hold, just be patient with this. And I think a week later, I'd pass.
Some people would say it sounds like you came back with a vengeance and just wanted to smoke it up. you were on smoke that day.
I was on smoke.
How do you deal with that if it gets out of hand? Do you have like contingencies to go, right, I've gone on smoke, the market smoked me, can happen, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a rule where you might knock your wrist back? Do you have like a certain amount of trades a day you'll take? Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of rules like that you've got in your system?
Yeah, so if that did, I had the plan in my head. If that didn't work, I knew I was risking that 1.5%. If that failed, then that would be the swing strategy done. I'm not going to try that again. That doesn't work for me. But it did work, thankfully. But if it didn't, then I would have just gone back to the simple, try and find that perfect 0.5% profit set up every day. I've got no time limit. If it doesn't appear one day, doesn't appear one day. But just sticking to like 0.5% profit a day, which I know a lot of people say you can't give a profit target daily. Some people might not. I like to. If you find the perfect setup, no matter what time of day it is, be patient on waiting for that setup. 0.5% a day. It's so doable. And that was basically the backup plan if that didn't work.
So you've got it, because just the reason I brought it up is because people listen and go, what, so she's just going to hit 1.5% all the time? I'm like, no, there's going to be a method to that, right?
100%. And the risk, if I'm trying to make 0.5% a day, it's going to be like 0.2 to 0.25%.
When you're live on the account, which obviously you are now, Do you have a risk parameter? Do you keep it low?
No, it just goes out the window. So I'll stick to it. Like I say, I'm very up and down with discipline, and I'm always honest about that. If I am in my prime discipline state, again, I'm always risking 0.25 to 0.5%. If I am out of that, I will just trade no stop loss gang and see where it's going. I'll have like a certain point where I'm like, okay, right, I need to close this trade out now. But because I don't have the added pressure of the fact that it's a challenge and I'm trying to pass, like those are the funds that I've got now, it's a little bit more chilled and I will leave a lot of room for drawdown, which probably isn't the right way to go about it. But again, because I'm not rushing to make money, because I'm not desperate for money, that's just kind of the outlook that I've had on challenges. And like, obviously when you actually get that account, but again, it's always good to have an account that you can do that with, but then you also need to have an account where you are very, very minimal risk on. And I think, but I will always prefer to go that extra risk.
Very interesting. Yes. So you've basically all managed accounts, certain accounts different, right?
Yeah.
Because you know, you've got like your bread and butter security, yeah, and then you've got one you can be a bit more pushy on. Yeah. Understandable. Touching on that, obviously you say about not needing the money. Do you have other sources of income that obviously get you by throughout the month? And how important would you say that is? Because I advocate this a lot, but if you rely on trading only to pay your bills, it's hard game, right?
I don't think it's possible. I really don't think it's possible. I mean, there's been times in my career where I have, and like the last couple of years, but now I have another source of income, it's so much easier. Trading to pay bills is the hardest thing to do when it comes to trading. It doesn't work.
I've always found that, because when you, so let's say you're at stop loss, right? But you, in your head, you've got your mortgage to pay, your rent to pay, your food shopping, kids stuff, whatever. When it hits stop loss, it's no longer a stop loss. It's I've lost all that. That's how the brain interprets it, right? And that's hard to deal with. Yeah. And then you go down, and before you know it, it can be a very slippery slope. And if you're not aware enough, you're fucked, right? Yep. So having another income is definitely helpful towards that.
1,000%. I don't recommend trading if you don't have a nice income.
It's something that I've always said, because yeah, I know when I've traded without any other income, I'm different.
Shit show.
I'm just different. Do you know what I mean? And the thing is, well, it might not even be me. It might be the market's dead.
Yeah.
Like for May, I had 2 weeks. I didn't touch a trade. There was just nothing. In my head, I'm like, I've got things to do and pay and like shit. And then what can happen is it can force your hand. You can make a bad mistake. And what I like to say to people is, if you go through a lot of your losses, a lot of the time, they're poor decisions. Yeah, they're not even your system. No, it's just you being a dick.
I posted about this on Twitter, which, again, backlash. The losses that I took, I look back at that, that was not my strategy. I was literally just, ego took over on those ones. That wasn't even a fact of, I need to pay for shit, but my ego took over and I was like, fuck this, I'm holding this. And sometimes you fuck up and it's life.
You learn from them. The thing is as well, like what people need to remember is, it's your account, it's your journey. You fuck up, you learn, you go forward, right? It's not anyone trying to post this perfect lifestyle and I never make a mistake. You know, it is lies, because it's just not a thing, right? If you had the chance to go back with the information you now have, go all the way back to the beginning, would you do anything different, or would you just keep everything the same?
To be honest, I think I would keep everything the same, because I wouldn't have the mindset that I have now had I not. Maybe I would be a little bit less risky, let's say. But naturally, as a person, I like to take risks anyway. So then I would be saying I don't want to be me. So no.
Love that. Well, I want to say thank you for coming on.
Pleasure.
No worries. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
No worries. I'll put Matt's links in the description if you want to check out her social media profiles. Go check them out. And she's definitely going to start YouTube soon. So keep an eye out.
Sooner than you think.
That's it. Thanks for watching, everyone. I'll catch you in the next one. Peace and love.
Today's video is sponsored by Bespoke Funding. Now, how many times have you been taking a challenge? Perhaps the market's quiet, perhaps it's in a range. Nothing fits your system. You're trying to remain patient. You're trying to be professional. However, the days are ticking down and you feel this urge of, I need to trade, I need to do something, only to go off plan, perhaps take a poor quality trade, and unfortunately blow the account, violate some kind of rule. Bespoke have now now brought out a no time limit challenge, which is absolutely game changing. You heard me right, there is no time limit across your challenge or your verification. You can simply take as long as you like, and I believe it's the closest thing to a live account as you'll get. If you're interested, there's a link in the description. Use code ALP10 to get yourself an account now and save yourself 10% across any challenge on their site.